Hello and welcome back to Easy Being Green, Lessons in Sustainable Business for SMEs with me, your host and editor of Earth Collective, Charlie. In October last year, an email landed in my inbox and the subject line said, "Would you use Google's new Google Maps carbon calculator?" Intrigued, of course, I clicked the email open to learn that Google Maps had released a new feature that shows you the estimated carbon released by the drive you are planning on taking, which, as the email pointed out, is a move that seems pretty obvious now it has been made. This email went on to say, and I quote, "Using tech to bring awareness, measure, and then reduce carbon is exactly what we're doing at Green Pixie. We are measuring emissions in new ways beyond traditional, outdated methods and wanted to know if you'd be interested in adding it to your sustainability reports ahead of the curve before it becomes mandatory policy and other businesses are left scrambling to catch up." Now, this email came from John Ridd, who is the CEO and co-founder of Green Pixie. And John, it was a very good email because I was compelled and I was concerned. As the editor of an online publication that writes about sustainability and sustainable business, yep, we definitely wanted to be ahead of the curve. So I thought, yes, please, John, how can you help us? In the conversations that followed, I learned that digital carbon is 4% of global emissions and it's increasing year on year. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot, maybe 4%, but that's equivalent to the whole aviation industry. And I'm saying that just as a plane is going over my head, right on cue. So although digital carbon makes up this big percentage of global emissions, and it's increasing year on year, it's not often mentioned within the public domain. I learned, thanks to a report from Green Pixie, that our own website, Earth Collective, is really close to being a low carbon website. Phew! And just a bit of work would need to be taken on our heaviest pages just to get us over that threshold to be a low carbon website. I also learned that on average, Green Pixie has been able to reduce its partners' digital footprints by about 50%. Now, when we've discussed the topic of digital carbon on Earth Collective and in our socials previously, many of our community have said that it was just something that they'd never considered before. What is the carbon footprint of sending or receiving an email? So naturally, I wanted to learn more and I asked John to be a guest on this very podcast right here, and I was absolutely stoked when he agreed. John is a self-proclaimed techie, and like myself, he comes from a digital marketing background and has worked in agency and for tech companies before. And then he stumbled across this idea of, or this issue of digital carbon, which led to the creation of Green Pixie. I really enjoyed my conversation with John, and I hope you will too. Welcome, John. Hi. Thank you so much for being here today.
Hi, Charlie. Yeah, great to be here.
Fantastic. So I wanted to start off with something that I read on your Instagram a few weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago. And Green Pixie had asked environmentalist, researcher and author Jerry McGovern what one thing he would want people to know about digital carbon. And the response was, and I quote, "The cloud is on the ground. Digital is physical, electrical. Digital has weights and the impact of digital on the environment is getting heavier every year." So that was interesting to me because I think it can be really difficult for the layperson especially, and myself, to visualize the cloud and the impact on the environment. So when we've posted in the past about things like this on Earth Collective, especially things like the carbon footprint of one email or one social media post, it's always met with cries of, "Oh, this is really interesting. I've never considered this before." So it's a very long-winded entry into that question, which is going to be my first question to you. For those of us who still lack understanding or are trying to understand this space, can you tell us what is digital carbon and why is it something we need to think about?
Yeah, so as Jerry put so practically, the cloud is on the ground. So as you can tell, when someone says cloud, it's quite a conceptual kind of image you come up with. But the the reality is, yeah, the cloud is on the ground in data centers, servers, undersea cables. There is a real hard infrastructure that is required to run this digital world that we live in. And digital carbon is the associated carbon emissions that runs that, runs this digital world, on the ground side of things.
Gotcha. So it's not just fluffy in the air, like mystical fluffy pink clouds, white clouds. It's actually there's hard data centers and literal physical elements to it, and that's why. Right, gotcha.
Yeah, definitely. It's the data itself moves like magic, it seems, but there is these servers that make this magic happen, and that's what we like to bring attention to.
Fantastic. So tell me a bit about you, John. How did you get involved in digital carbon and in the sector? And can you give us a bit of an insight into what inspired you to co-found Green Pixie? And with Green Pixie, what is it? What problem? Sorry, it's a two-part question, really. What inspired you to co-found Green Pixie? And the second part is, what problem are you trying to solve with Green Pixie?
So at Green Pixie, we're quite a mix of mindsets. So largely, we come from tech backgrounds. Myself, I come from digital marketing. I've worked for a number of agencies. I've worked for a number of tech companies. And you could say I'm kind of your run-of-the-mill techie. Mm-hmm. And we kind of stumbled across the sustainability space through this issue of digital carbon. One of my friends, who's kind of a bit of a sustainability nut, gave me a message and said, do you know, like, websites have a carbon footprint? And it really made me think, that does sound weird, but then I kind of thought about it a little bit more and kind of made that connection. And that kind of paired with the kind of my knowledge of the tech space and working with developers, I knew that digital carbon could be measured at scale and potentially reduced at scale as well. So during lockdown, when we were at, I was at a workspace, which was actually still open, and there was a small group of us where we did a hackathon and to talk about digital carbon and this idea that you can measure as websites. And yeah, that's when Green Pixie was born. The name and everything started there. And we've come a lot of way since and attracted some really interesting people to a sustainability challenge, which I don't think is entirely orthodox. Talking openly. So I wasn't born an environmentalist, but I'm becoming one. And I think it's really important for a good sign for the kind of the climate crisis and sustainability in general, that new mindsets such as kind of more nerdy techie people are now putting their minds to finding solutions in the space.
Absolutely. I think that's brilliant. I have interviewed and spoken to a number of startup founders who have come from completely different backgrounds. Some people come into the world of sustainability because they just want to save the planet. And that's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. But what I love is when someone comes in with a completely different frame of mind, like an engineer, did you call yourself a tech?
So digital marketing myself, but techie really.
Techie, that's what you said. And then, but the thing is that the world needs this. Like you can't really start a business now without considering the planet. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I'd say so. We want to do, everyone involved in the team wants to make a positive change in the world. But we also like big problems and big solutions. Like developers just want to have a big problem to solve. And there's no bigger problem than the climate crisis. So that is, it's the mindset we kind of take. And it's taken us through quite a journey. Mm-hmm. I think having a higher goal above profit is a very important motivator for people in general. And I think the new kind of our generation and the generations coming kind of care more about purpose than purely profit. So I think it's good for business. It's good for business because it keeps people motivated and it keeps people who are working in a startup happy and doing good things in the world.
That's so true. There were some studies that have come out recently, multiple of them, that are talking about the younger generations coming through. And one of the considerations to joining a business, and we know we're in a bit of a rut at the moment in terms of trying to find talent. There are good people are few and far between, mainly because lots of people are starting their own businesses, so they don't want to work for anybody else. But you have to have that to attract good talent. Young people want companies that care.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's so I do see the business opportunity in the space. But yeah, it's just better for everyone when you have a kind of higher goal. Everyone works. I've never seen kind of people work together to such a high level. And it's exactly what you said. I think if you're going to be a forward-thinking, successful business in 2022, then sustainability has to be at the center of that, not just an afterthought plastered on. Or potentially sustainability could be swapped out for perhaps like another higher order goal. But I think that's the trend. Like, there's something more than just profit. And I think we're realizing that now.
Excellent. So your website, Green Pixie's website, notes that the environmental impact of digital carbon now matches the entire aviation industry, which is mind blowing. So now you don't have to name and shame, but can you tell us perhaps about the biggest industry offenders, or conversely, who's doing it right? Who's actually thinking about digital carbon in a positive way?
So so this is still very new, new concept that companies are now realizing needs to be taken into consideration. So at the moment, it's I think the awareness is now there, so I can name and shame. But as you'd probably expect, so tech companies who have largely software operations or producing a like any hard tech or anything like that do have the highest carbon footprint relative to their operations. And that's who we're kind of trying to reach out to in the next stage of the business, so they can kind of measure the digital carbon footprint and solve it. When it comes to kind of any business, the one thing we can all kind of measure and see is websites. So you can estimate your carbon footprint of your website on the calculator we have on our website, greenpixie.com. And with that, it's a mixed batch. Really, as I say, it doesn't come from a place of malice, but it normally, if there is a website that hasn't taken into account best coding practices, then that's when you kind of come across some carbon footprint issues. So that's a kind of trend that we're seeing. And there's quite funny ones that I could put out. So the COP26 website is one of the worst that we've measured. And that's probably not because they wanted it to be environmentally damaging, but just the lack of awareness and knowledge of the fact that digital has as well.
That's embarrassing.
yeah it is. No, there is and there was a bit of a there's a glaring omission on so the fact that digital carbon wasn't mentioned at COP was also kind of shown that the main movement of the space and the powers that be are a little bit slow to innovate and see this huge issue. I don't think it doesn't take someone from a tech background to realize this digital trend is going to go in one direction. So in 10 years, 5 years, there's going to be potentially exponentially more digital kind of operations to deal with. If you think about them, if the metaverse is as successful as Mark wants it to be, then that will have a huge digital carbon footprint as well. So we need to be at the cutting edge and be able to, raise awareness now.
Did you manage to talk to COP26 about this? Did they give you any response?
No. So we actually we did actually have someone some presence there, and we have been talking with people who are around that area and some regulators, and they are kind of now realizing that it is an issue. It's going to be a big thing. And it's just health, as I think there's one thing that we know, especially at the top level, things move pretty slowly. But I think we're going to be confident this is going to be a huge trend over the next few years.
Excellent. So you're jumping on it right at the right time.
Yeah, I hope so. As a startup.
Yeah. So, I mean, another trend I think that is a good timing for you, and we actually published an article on this, some research that was done on it recently, which is that working from home and hybrid working can have a positive impact on your carbon footprint. Do you think that's true? And do you think that's something that employers should take into consideration now people are starting to go back to the office?
Yeah, no, that is a... So moving over to a more digital way of working can be have a carbon footprint reduction, of course, when it comes down to kind of like heavy travel, if you're driving into work or anything like that. But it needs to have the awareness, just because there you are moving and working remotely, it doesn't mean that your carbon footprint goes to zero and everything's in the clear. It's important to, be aware about what it's changed to, and especially when it comes to certain situations. So there was a, even though we can do video calls, and as we're doing now, that is, I think, a worthwhile change. And we're kind of, we're techies, we're not anti kind of tech. We want to, it's great that we can talk to each other face to face while being all these miles away. But having the awareness of how, what that impact is, then allows us to perhaps take measures to act in the most digitally conscious digital carbon conscious way. And so what we're really focusing on at the moment is, because it's so close to the start of the issue, it's measuring, and awareness is the first step you can kind of have. And I know a lot of your audience are kind of SMEs, and although you're kind of you're not a huge corporation, so your carbon footprint may be smaller in comparison, the way you can really contribute to this fight against the climate crisis is to have a sustainability facing brand and raise awareness, because through that awareness comes pressure and momentum to overall climate change. And that's how we feel as a company as well.
Excellent. That's brilliant. I it is interesting, isn't it? Because I mean, you're in London and I'm in the southwest of England. That's it's about a 5-hour train journey for me to get to London, and goodness knows on the up the M5 because of the traffic so horrendous. So it's amazing that we can do this, but we have become much more reliant on video conference. This was not something I ever did 5 years ago, you know, sitting on Zoom. What was Zoom?
Yeah. It's crazy to think, because Skype was around for so long, and you'd be at university or myself, and you just wouldn't really video call. It just wasn't in the culture. But now it is. And this is the trajectory that we need to be aware of, is we're getting more and more digital. Our digital lives are now, if we're going over like 50% of our real life in a lot of ways. So as there's been a world movement towards sustainability awareness, there needs to be a digital world awareness, which that's what Green Pixie were trying to be one of the pioneers in that space.
Wow, so interesting. So you touched on a little bit there about our audience being small, medium-sized enterprises, small businesses, and you gave them a little bit of advice there about what to do, raising awareness. What other things can small businesses do to reduce their digital carbon footprint? Or is the most important thing to just be talking about this and to be understanding what your website has?
In terms of the effect, I'd say sharing the awareness is probably the most effect I think you could potentially have, because if you're vocal, people are listening, then maybe 10 people will take action, or 10 companies, or a big company will take action. However, there is kind of no-brainer steps, because at Green Pixie we kind of look for these no-brainer steps. And for example, you could optimize your website to run as efficiently as possible when it comes to its carbon footprint. And a lot of the time you'd have to compromise the design, so that's almost a no-brainer, because you get the same kind of result but for less carbon used. Wow. And one thing I was actually talking this morning And this was kind of news to me. With this kind of video quality that we're on at the moment, you can actually, for Google Meets, you can actually, if you take it off the highest quality over to the mid quality, and it doesn't really, not that noticeable in differences, that can actually reduce the carbon footprint of the calls between 70 and 80%. So
that much?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh. And that's so easy. That's such a simple thing to do.
Exactly. And it doesn't mean we have to start going backwards when it comes to embracing new technology. It's that's what I'd say is a nice compromise that we like to promote. We'd be doing that where appropriate. What we don't want to do as tech people is be like, just don't use technology at all, and then your digital carbon will be zero. That's not how we think. But because technology is so great, there are all these easy wins that you can do. Yeah.
Well, it's not achievable to not use technology. You know, this is where the world has come to. Why it's so great that you guys, that like businesses like Green Pixie, are looking for solutions to enable what's already happening in the world to do it in a better way. So I think that's brilliant, because I mean, we're a website. Earth Collective is a content machine. Everything we do is online. And I remember when I first started speaking to Green Pixie, and I was like, oh God, and you very kindly had a look at our website and gave us a report, and we actually were not too bad. I was very proud of ourselves, but we still want to do better. But it was quite scary. And I think the first thing that was in my mind was, we're a digital company, like how are we gonna navigate this challenge?
Yeah, exactly. And awareness is the key. I think there seems to be, you can be an outwardly facing brand when it comes to let's say socials. In person, you can have your own environmental kind of ideals, and we just found like websites was just that a medium that kind of didn't really consider the effects it was having. So yeah, what we do provide, so you can use the website calculator on our site to give you an estimation, and then if you wanted to really dig in and see how much carbon your website produces in a year, then we can run that through Google Analytics and then produce you a nice report that you can share with anyone at the company. And yeah, from that we can kind of provide you with kind of an awareness badge or a low carbon website badge, which can then, as I said before, share the word, which could then promote more active change from other companies. So yeah, that's where we love doing at Green Pixie, is spreading awareness and using tech in order to give accurate representations of how much carbon has been used in tech.
Brilliant. We want to get that badge. That's the next step for Earth Collective. We're going to get that badge.
Yeah, no, I think you may be able to get that badge. We'll talk after the call.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks. Oh, fantastic. So we've touched a little bit on this in terms of Green Pixie itself. And the last question I'm going to ask you, not now, but later, is about whether there is such a thing as a sustainable business, kind of what this podcast is all about, what we're exploring. So Green Pixie itself, do you consider Green Pixie to be a sustainable business? I mean, you've touched on that, and I think I know what the answer is. And if you do, what measures have you put in place, or are you looking to put in place? Like, what's important to you for Green Pixie itself to be a sustainable business?
So, as I said, a lot of the people involved, so we're techies by nature, so it's a learning process as we go. For example, for the real world stuff, we're doing a talk in Paris, and then our first reaction was just like, we could drive, and then we're just like, no way, we need to, the most efficient way we get there is Eurostar. So that's the kind of what we've started, kind of that's at the top of our conversation now, when maybe at another company that wouldn't be so high up the conversation. So we're learning the real world sustainability by engaging in our own digital sustainability. And when it comes to the digital sustainability, we take pride in, so our website for one is really, really fast. So it means that the carbon footprint is low. We have our green servers set up in Ireland. which is a really good step to make. And when it comes to a lot of the more technical stuff, when we use kind of some of the more advanced computing, we really try to minimize that where possible. Mm-hmm. And we also try to use the providers which provide the best sustainability packages, but we're not perfect. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably a theme you're alluding to, and we were probably quite very far from perfect when we started. And it's funny how the sustainability culture does leak into the rest of your life, myself included. So I don't think you're born an environmentalist, or you don't have to be. It's kind of something you can learn and pick up, and you can embrace as a company. And I think, you work better, higher purpose. I think it's just the way a modern business is going to run. Yeah.
I completely agree. And it's, do you know, the most important thing is to be mindful of it. And, you know, like you say, have it top of mind when you, mm-hmm. it's like we always say that first stone you unturn, like if you're even on the professional or personal mm-hmm. level, when you first start going, oh my gosh, just plastic everywhere. And you start reducing your plastic and suddenly you think about more things. I'm like, well, what about my food waste? Or, you know, what about my car? Or, you know, what about my website? Where, what about my travel? Like, it just happens, and you've got it in, that's in there, and you suddenly start looking for the more eco-friendly version of everything that you do. You can't go back. Once you've seen it, you can't unsee it.
Yeah, no, it's same for me as well. It's top of mind, and it's something that it can be learned, and it's funny how much you do consider it with everything you do. And yeah, it's something we would like to really promote as a company, but also it's kind of the other side of it is sometimes if you've got to be pragmatic or potentially give yourself a break if there is some kind of areas where you haven't quite worked on yet, because it's a progressive improvement is what's important. I think like moving over the middle of kind of society over a little bit towards sustainability will have a massive impact. For example, so you don't discourage people to try and be level 10 sustainability when they could be level 1 or 2 and then still do a good job.
So true. Every little bit helps. So let's go. That was a nice segue because you were talking a little bit about yourself on a personal level. So on a personal or a professional level, what is it that gets you out of bed in the morning? What drives you every day?
Yeah, no, it's good. I've been thinking about this a lot recently. And for me, it's a combination of wanting to make effective change in the world and whatever I kind of do. There is, I've always gone about, about business, about things in a kind of different way. Mm-hmm. Because I think, there's like, it's kind of like almost a creative process for me, like how can we approach these different challenges, what can we do, and there's quite a big kind of scoop of I want to prove that my way can work and it can improve things and you can do things differently. That's what I that gets me up in the morning, is that kind of that attitude of just like, I'm gonna find my own way. Let's see if I can make it work. If I fail doing it, so be it. At least I'm doing it my own way. And since I've kind of started Green Pixie, I get a real purpose out of kind of like leading the team. So I'm kind of in a position of CEO. I kind of grew into that leadership position because I just like bringing out the potential of people is really, really fulfilling. Mm-hmm. And it's being part of a kind of group of people who are doing something different, ambitious, it's great work, it's great culture. That's what gets me out of bed in the morning and keeps me up at night as well. So it's
often the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
That's fantastic. I've just thought of a question I haven't thought to ask you, but I'm going to ask you now. Why is it called Green Pixie? Where did that come from?
So Green Pixie, so it's when we were doing this hackathon at the beginning, when we kind of had this idea of measuring websites. Mm-hmm. We kind of brainstorming ideas, and we wanted it to be, we wanted green to be in it, just because we were first moving into the space, and it was, we wanted it to be obvious when you saw the brand that it was a kind of eco company. But and then the Pixie came from something like Pixels. It was like Pixels, or we wanted it to be like a, I think we went down the route of thinking about like woods. We're like, do nymphs, do pixies live in a wood? And we're like, green pixie, let's do it. And then if you maybe I could be persuaded to show you what the original logo and website looked like. Yeah, it was like thrown together like in a hackathon. It's like, what can you put together bare bones to kind of start testing it out? And yeah, the green pixie V1 was it wasn't too bad, but I think we have a bit more style than we did back then.
Brilliant. Now, I've never been to a hackathon, so you're teaching me a little bit about what happens.
Hackathons are great. Yeah, that's what we bring is that kind of, I think it can be maybe something that can be learned on the sustainability side, because a hackathon does is solving a problem in a short amount of time in a group of people. So I think a sustainability hackathons could be good, actually. Maybe we can do a little kind of joint sustainability hackathon, see how we get on.
We have to find a new name for it, something catchy.
Yeah,
sustainathon doesn't have quite the right hackathon ring, does it?
Yeah, hacker. If you can put okay, we'll get there. We'll get there eventually.
We'll come to that. We'll come back to that one later. Brilliant. Okay. So for Green Pixie, now we know where the name comes from, which, by the way, I think it's also, you know, that magic cloud that we were talking about. You know, pixies are a bit magic. Yeah, yeah. I really like the name. What's next for
Green Pixie? Yeah, that's great. And I'm glad you picked up on the magic. That's actually quite at the top of our brand, like measuring like magic, fixing like magic. So I'm glad that came across. So what's next is we have a super secret project product we're going to be building, which will kind of expand us past websites and allow us to service some of these bigger tech companies in their footprint. And it's really exciting. So we can kind of have the biggest effect possible on measuring and eventually reducing this this issue of digital carbon that we've been obsessed with over the last 7 or 8 months.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, I'll be watching you with close eyes. So final question for today is the one we ask all of our podcast guests, is, do you think there is such a thing as a truly sustainable business yet?
It's a good question. I think you should aspire to be one. But if you fall a bit short, then you're a lot further along the line than you would be otherwise. So I think there's having a big goal setting. I think having that as an ideal to work for is definitely something we should go towards. But you have to balance against some other realities, be it like profitability or whichever space you're into. It's a combination of being a rational optimist, I guess, is the way to put it. But I like the idea of a completely sustainable company to kind of aim for. Yeah.
That's brilliant. Yeah. Before we finish, is there anything else you'd like our listeners to know, or anything you'd like to say?
I'd say for me personally, just being on this startup journey, if you do have kind of entrepreneurial ambitions, and you think you're going to start a startup, potentially consider the sustainability space, because I genuinely believe that it's we're at the turning point where it is attracting new mindsets. And I think rather than going for like your typical software or fintech or where the money is, I think by going after a startup in the sustainability space, there's big business opportunities, along with doing a lot of positive, doing positive for the world. And my experience has been, it's been very fulfilling. So I guess that's what I'll end on.
That's brilliant. Thank you so much, John. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. You could probably tell that I really enjoyed talking to John, and I hope you really enjoyed listening to our chats. You've been listening to episode 2 of Easy Being Green, Lessons in Sustainable Business for SMEs, and I've been talking with John Ridd, CEO and co-founder of Green Pixie. Green Pixie is at the forefront of the next big climate conversation, digital sustainability. Despite accounting for over 4% of global carbon emissions, almost all businesses are unable to account for the footprint of their websites, applications, video calls, emails, cloud computing, and other digital carbon. Green Pixie is here to change that. The first step towards accounting for your digital carbon is running a digital carbon report. We've had one done at Earth Collective. It was very easy, quick and painless, and it was great to find out where we're at in terms of the digital carbon of our website. The report is comprehensive, easy to understand, and plugs straight into your ESG reporting, offering detailed analysis of your website's emissions, as well as steps you can take to reduce them without compromising, and this is really important, especially when you're an online publisher, without compromising design or functionality. Also included in the report is a Green Pixie certification badge, as well as a free consultation with one of Green Pixie's team about how they can measure your wider digital operations, such as email and video conferencing. You can get a 30% discount code on a digital carbon report from Green Pixie if you go to greenpixie.com and use the code EARTHCO30. That's EARTHCO30, EARTHCO30. At greenpixie.com. To find out more about Green Pixie, head to greenpixie.com. And to hear more from Green Pixie, you can follow their social media channels, which I will link in the show notes. We've also got some articles on Earth Collective at weareearthcollective.com about Green Pixie, and I will link those in the show notes as well. You've been listening to Easy Being Green, Lessons in Sustainable Business for SMEs. This podcast episode is also available as a written article on weareearthcollective.com. If you'd like to get in touch with me about this episode or have ideas for a future one, you can do that by following us at weareearthco on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or TikTok. I hope you can join me next time. Until then, stay collected and don't forget to keep it green.